right, welcome back to the podcast. This is Mississippi Baptist Around the Table with our series of impact trainings, catching ministry around the state. And we are, where are we, John? This should be a starting question for us.
Yeah, we're in Philadelphia, my hometown.
Woohoo, don't be too excited there.
That's right, yeah. Born and raised.
That's right. So impact trainings, if you don't know, impact trainings were birthed out of a heart from Dr. Parker, our executive director, of just the theme for this year of Impact Mississippi. Just wanting to impact Mississippi through ministry in different ways, and then try to encourage and empower leaders to do that.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to train, and so impact training just kind of fell into its place. We're so creative around here. Yeah. Those guys have some great names.
Yeah. So Dr. Parker's given us at the building, he's given us six initiatives, right? And so the first of that initiative is disciple making, which includes evangelism and discipleship. And so this series of training is particularly focused on evangelism and discipleship, preschool, children, student, adults, and the such.
So we had a great turnout last week.
Yeah, we did.
Byram at Country Woods Baptist Church.
Yep,
If you caught the episode with Matthew Fancher, it was a great look in the Byram area. Mm-hmm. Super encouraged what came out there. We're looking forward to tonight in Philadelphia. And this is not my home turf, John.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce Philadelphia? I won't do justice
to this. So Philadelphia obviously is the home of the Church of the Ark, but also there are some other things that go on there. You know, Philadelphia is Williamsville, right?
Bacon
and cheese and bologna, mm-hmm. and
boots
all in the same
and
place.
Pants.
Yeah. There also, of course, Jay, was this your first summer in Philadelphia?
Second summer.
Mm-hmm. So you've gotten conditioned to the Neshoba County Fair.
I grew up coming to the Neshoba County
That's
Fair.
Right.
My aunt has a cabin.
Yeah, so it's that's pretty much what Philadelphia is known for.
Yeah, our fair city.
Yeah,
that's your fair season.
Our fair city.
Our
that's
fair
the
city.
Little
yeah, because there also is the Choctaw Indian Fair. Both of those fairs were designated us as the fair city. So Philadelphia is a good place. I mean, you know,
you think about it. I was telling somebody the other day that there's nothing in the whole United States like the Neshoba County Fair.
That's exactly
it's very
right,
unique.
Yeah.
And then we have the Choctaw Nation, their fair where they do the stickball world championship right here
absolutely.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah. Have you ever witnessed stickball?
I need to come back for that.
Have you ever witnessed that? Oh, man, Tanner.
It's amazing.
Road trip next year. Yep.
Man,
that's good.
So the voice you hear across the table from us is Jay Clark. He's the pastor of Church of the Ark. And just at first, Jay, can you set up for us and listeners across the state just a little bit of your backstory and how do you summarize this just in a few minutes, but a little bit of your call to ministry and if you want to jump straight into your call to starting Church of the Ark.
Right.
I can't talk right now.
But let me say, somewhere in the story, the green pickle has to come up, so...
The green pickle, okay.
That's what Slater Murphy told us. I don't know.
Slater Murphy and the green pickle in Columbus?
Yeah.
The green pickle came to pick you up?
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Is
it clicking?
Yeah, we usually call it the pickle.
The pickle, okay.
Yeah, but it was a 1969 28-foot Impala that my friend Brian Manchester drove. He was the first one of our friends with a license.
Mm-hmm.
So he would come pick us up.
Yeah.
And we would drive into Columbus and out and give them $5 gas money for it. Each had to give them because that's all it did was drink gas.
Yeah,
never know how that could impact
But hey,
life.
We were not ashamed. We were proud. I mean, he had his license. We were you know, fresh teenagers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up
that's
in
awesome.
Columbus.
Okay.
And yeah, I met Slater growing up.
Yeah.
He was at Fairview Baptist Church, which I went to for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Their church van ministry would come pick me and my sister up. And that's when I really first started going to church on a regular basis. My family didn't really go on a regular. And then we moved and I gave my life to Christ at Community Baptist Church, which was a church plant in the early 1980s out in the New Hope area of Lowndes County.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then after a couple of years there, I started going to Mount Vernon Baptist Church. And that's where I met Gary Permenter, who was my youth minister. And became my mentor. I worked with him a couple summers as an intern. And so that's where I grew up. And then I went to the University of Southern Mississippi to the top.
Grieving today, by the way.
Yeah, Corky Palmer. Yeah, he's a legend.
Yesterday.
Yeah. That's where I met Lloyd Lunsford, who just retired. And Lloyd was a mentor. Chris Walters was he was a senior student when I came down there and met him. He's at the BSU now.
Yeah.
Had a great time at Southern Miss, great experience, and surrendered to the ministry though when I was 16. I was looking to go into missions. Kind of what I told the Lord was, I'll go to Africa and I'll go to China, but Lord, I don't want to be a pastor.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So you know how that works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's funny. And so I eventually, after a few years, when I was at seminary, I went to Golden Gate Baptist, which is now Gateway Seminary. Mm-hmm. That's when the Lord showed me. I remember asking the Lord, I said, Lord, who's going to shepherd these people? Mm. And he said to me, you will. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm going to China, Lord.
Yeah,
going to China is easier than pastoring a church.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
But then I had a kind of a burning in my heart where I just had to do it. I knew it was my call. And so that was when I lived in Portland, Oregon for about 8 years, moved back to Mississippi, became pastor at Sebastopol Baptist Church, which is about 20 miles south of Philadelphia, and stayed there for 13 years. Had a great ministry there. That's where I met John. He was over in Union, which is a suburb of Sebastopol.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And had a great ministry there. But that's where really it's one of the things that started me with the vision of planting a church was I got the Mission Magazine every year, and in it was the baptism statistics by state.
Mm.
And for, I don't know what it is now, but when I really started opening my eyes, it was 16 years in a row in Mississippi that we baptized every year less and less people.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm going around and there's plenty of people to win to Christ.
Yeah.
We're just not winning them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when God really began to give me a burden and a vision for planting a church, which led me, led me about, 2 years ago, I began talking with Andy Bowles, who had planted a church in Forest, and then began to talk with the 242 Network, the Church Planting of Mississippi, about possibly planting a church.
Yeah. So what, I obviously love Philadelphia. It's my hometown. What particularly do you think drew you to Philadelphia? Why that area? Why the area of Philadelphia?
Right. That's a good question. I would say it has to do with intersections of people and ministry and God at work. There was people that I was meeting. There were the needs of the city itself. The amount of people that aren't in the church on any given Sunday. The amount of people who aren't affiliated with the church or didn't grow up in church. You have the Choctaw Nation where there's a great need for Christ. You have addiction problems around Neshoba County. That's a great need. So all those. It was like. Well, there was people that were talking to me about doing ministry in Philadelphia. One particular man, Philip Prince, he said, when you're ready to plant a church, he said, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That was a huge deal. That was just an intersection of, hey, you know, God saying, hey, I'm setting things up. They're starting to cross and I'm showing you where to go.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that because I think people in Philadelphia probably may be unaware of what you just said. And that's the number of people in Philadelphia that are not engaged in church, right? I mean, Philadelphia is like most Mississippi southern towns. I would say it's not a lack of churches, right? There are churches all over Philadelphia, just like there are all over most of Mississippi. However, in 2021, and people are going to not believe this, by the way, but I'm telling you, this is facts, okay?
It is.
In 2021, 76.5% of people in Philadelphia do not regularly attend church.
That's right.
And that number has increased from 60.4% in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
In four years.
Yeah. So, you know, I know what you're saying is absolutely right. There are people in Philadelphia that need to hear the gospel, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so you guys kind of have a unique approach to reaching inside of the community. And I think we would love to hear kind of what that looks like. What's your heart behind Church of the Ark? Tell us the story. Where did it come from? Because it's not ARK.
Right. It's ARC.
It's ARC. So explain all of that to us. Help us understand how you guys are trying to change these statistics.
Right. So my partner in the church plant was a former Division I basketball player. And we've been friends for We met at Southern Miss back in the 90s. Yeah. And so he had always had a dream, and God gave him a vision to do a basketball ministry. Mm. And he had been asking pastors, hey, what would this look like in a church? And everybody was like,
yeah. You know, yeah, who knows?
I don't want to do that. You know. And so and when he first told me, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I went home, and I prayed, and I meditated on it. I thought, wait a minute. This is what that is fishing. Mm. I'll make you fishers of men. Mm. That is a way to cast a net. Just like Vacation Bible School. That's what Vacation Bible School is. Now, it certainly serves as a disciple-making for children in your church. But like our church, we would have, you know, an extra 40 to 50 kids that would come from the community. Mm-hmm. So it was opportunity to proclaim the gospel to our kids and them. Mm-hmm. So that's a net that we would cast as a church in Sebastopol. So then I realized, wait a minute, basketball is a net. Mm. It's a worldwide sport. People, the Choctaws love it.
Yep.
White people love it. Mm-hmm. Black people love it. Mm-hmm. So, hey, that's a net. So I realized, we were talking one day, two summers ago, and we were talking about names and the essence of the ministry. And I said to Philip, you know, I'm not a pro basketball player or a great basketball player. In my mind, I am. But to nobody else, I am. You know? But I played basketball in the Philippines. I played in Guatemala. Mm. I played in Guatemala with Chris Walters. Mm. Okay. So I played in China. I played in Portland. I would go play in inner city. I just go down to the courts and play with all kind of guys. And I said, man, it's amazing how many people we've met on basketball courts. We need a church at the Ark. Mm. So it represented a church that was engaging people in the community. Yeah. That's essentially what that essence of the church at the Ark was. And so the name was born, and we began to dream and strategize on how that would happen.
What's interesting to me is that as I'm following you guys on social media, I'm seeing all your basketball. Y'all are in the gym every day, right?
That's no lie.
And these teenage boys, most of them boys, a lot of girls, it seems like, are involved in different camps too. But what's this look like for you day to day at your church?
Yeah, so we have essentially Philip, who does the basketball ministry. He's my basketball executive. Okay. He insisted I call him that.
Yeah.
Only when I need to pep him up. Yeah. But what he designed it, the ministry is not a league, although we may do something like that, but it's actually a training ministry. Okay. It focuses on training ball skills for individuals, groups, and teams. So, for example, this summer we had two teams come in and we did a three-day camp with each one of those teams. But most of the everyday stuff is these kids signed up for this hour. They come in, they get usually it's anywhere from 2 to 8 kids together. We'll get a one-hour training session on ball handling skills, on footwork, on shooting, on passing, on defense. And so that's really the everyday ministry of that. So it's a training.
Yeah.
Again, it's been amazing. We have an app they can go sign up for it to decide when they want to do it. And it's every day. I'm talking. Yeah. And Philip, because of his connections, the resources that God's given him over the years, he has different men that come over and are part of that. He does it. We have we got about 3 in-house people that do it. And then we have some other people that come, like we got a guy who comes on Friday and Saturday who's trained NBA players.
Wow, yeah.
He's coming over, and he works Friday and Saturday for us. We got a guy, a local guy, he comes on Saturday morning, and he's got about 30 to 50 kids that are in the Ark on Saturday morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah, wow. That's cool. Wow. That's cool.
So that's great to hear how they're always in your building, and how many of our churches are, the doors are quiet, the hallways are quiet during the week, except for 2 days
right,
a week, maybe.
Right, right.
So my next question is kind of strategy driven. So you have them in your building, and then what's your strategy for sharing the gospel with them? And one stat we're looking at here, Johnny Irving provided us some stats, and I think he will do that for you and your own church as you're listening right now, if you're looking for stats in your community. One stat we're seeing is that single parent moms lead over 50% of households with children in Philadelphia. So I'm imagining, and this is a twofold question about strategy and all that stuff, but really, like, I imagine a lot of those teenage boys in there don't have a daddy at home.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. So where's their dad? Well, the church. That's God's plan to provide and reach a generation without fathers is the fathers in the church. So, and that's what a coach is. And a coach has more access to teenagers than anybody else does besides their parents.
Yeah.
And if their parents not there, then that means often that coach is the greatest influence on their life.
Yeah.
So that's this part of that strategy. And so that does a lot of different things by providing a space for that kid, but also providing something the mother can't do. She can't mm-hmm. provide that. But mm-hmm. now there's these men in this church
yeah.
that are stepping up and being in that gap for those families.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So when do y'all share? When do y'all share
all
with
the
them?
Time? Okay. All the time. It's like it's woven in the lessons. They use parables. They basketball itself is a great parable for mm-hmm. using to talk about
yeah.
the spirit and the transformation, the God work, and those kind of things. There's gospel presentations. You know, like for the camps, every day there were devotions and then gospels given at all of them. We go out to the neighborhoods and do camps for kids. Same thing. It's woven in everything we do.
Yeah,
and awesome. Then the best part of that is that's like a big net.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the one-on-one conversations
yeah.
of just hanging out at the gym, hanging out in the lobby, and it goes deeper there.
Yeah. So I know awesome. I know because awesome. You and I have had conversations about this, and you can be as specific as the Church of the Ark is ready to be. But I'm not really sure, but I know that the nets that you're casting, one of them is basketball.
That's right.
And I think it's cool for us because it's kind of a novel idea. I mean, to have a church that's called the Church at the Ark that
right.
uses basketball as a primary means of evangelism and discipleship. Yeah. But I know that there are other things that you guys are doing intentionally also to kind of cast nets and draw men and women in. So share some of those other things that you guys are doing.
Definitely,
as well.
Which I'd love to
like
share.
Pickle cars, pickle vans.
I would love to have a pickle van.
We have
another unique strategy that we have that was a part of the vision from the very beginning. Because I remember I told Philip, he's like, I'm going to do the basketball ministry. I said, well, I'm going to make sure we have a ministry that focuses on reaching people in addiction.
Because
mm-hmm. Over the years, you know, we helped some people when I was at Sebastopol, but you have to have a certain church culture
yeah.
to provide the kind of atmosphere and boundaries for those kind of people come out of addiction.
Right.
But here's what we said. We said, we want to, if they come to us, that we will say we will help you no matter what. And usually that usually starts with us sponsoring them to go to a live-in faith-based recovery ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the big ones we send to is Righteous Oaks, which is in Chunky, Mississippi yeah. for men. And the other one is just started is the Peace House, which is down by Forest, Mississippi. Embrace Church, one of our other mm-hmm. churches, started it. It's for women. And we will sponsor them, send them there 6 months. When they come out, if it's good for them to come back to Philadelphia, we say, we'll help you find a place to live, find a job. You can be a part of our recovery group meetings, which we have, be a part of our church. Mm-hmm. We'll help you with legal issues. We'll help you rebuilding relationships that you need to rebuild, like family, dealing with the court and legal issues that you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a strategy. And so I'll cap that off with this past Sunday and the coming up Sunday, we reached one woman
mm-hmm.
who told me I was the most notorious meth user among women in Neshoba
mm-hmm.
County.
Mm-hmm.
She came to us, a friend recommended her. She was in legal issues and we sent her, sponsored her. She got clean and free, found Christ. While she was there, they brought her up here so that we could baptize her, gave mm-hmm. her life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
She came back here. She's been a part of our ministry, already winning women to
wow.
get them into recovery. Mm. But now, last Sunday, I baptized her, I baptized her sister, I baptized her husband, I baptized her niece, I baptized
wow.
her son.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
And they've all been living under that darkness.
Yep.
But God is bringing light into that family, which you guys know,
yeah.
that's the power of the gospel, right? Mm. And so their lives are being changed, which means when one, the whole family.
Sure,
so,
absolutely. Yeah,
so that's a unique ministry that we have. As we call it Strong Towers. That's our recovery ministry mm-hmm. of the Church at the Ark. Mm-hmm.
I've seen the baptism waters moving a lot on social media.
Yeah,
I appreciate those pictures you're posting.
I love it. Yeah.
So in short here, I want to know if you can summarize real quick. Like, so what are you preaching on Sunday mornings? And you're preaching, right?
I'm the lead pastor.
That's right. I don't know how it works, brother.
Yeah, I preach Sunday morning. My main focus on Sunday morning is I preach very gospel-centered sermons. I definitely do some teaching, but most of it is announcement, proclamation, that I'm announcing that anyone who wants to come to Christ, you can. And so this past week, I focused on the woman with the blood issue coming, and that she did whatever it took so that she could get to Jesus, and that he welcomed her, and she was healed because she came to him. So I'm doing that kind of thing pretty much every Sunday.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. What a great view into the context of ministry you're in. I love it. I love it. Right here in the Bible Belt, so to speak.
That's
you
right.
wouldn't know. What's the stat we're seeing, John? How many Baptists? What's the percentage of Baptists in Philadelphia area? Was it 2.2?
Yeah, 2.2%, which is crazy.
Yeah, so that is shocking.
Low.
That is
right
shocking.
Here in the middle of Mississippi.
So that's only 2.2% of the population is engaged in the Baptist denomination.
That's right.
Right.
That is crazy. The number one was Catholicism, I think, of like 18%.
I think that would surprise a lot of people.
Man, what a view. This is what we want this series to be all about. Just a glimpse for everybody around the state, pastors around the state that are listening to hear about ministry in Philadelphia. And if you want to reach out, I'm sure you'd be available if anybody has any questions.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's the look at Church of the Ark, a little different look here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The training's happening here at East Philadelphia Baptist Church, and if you just want a stereotypical Sunday school classroom with white walls, that's where we are right now. If you hear the echo this whole time,
thanks
for listening through it. You know, it's very acoustical in here. You know, I'll say that.
Hot.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're stopping in next time in Petal, Mississippi, to check in down there in Forest County. We look forward to the stops ahead, and we are thoroughly enjoying these impact trainings. To see everybody and connect with people. We're seeing a lot of people encouraged, and we hope you can tag along in these upcoming dates here in the next couple weeks. We'll see you.